You're all excited from the Duke of York. Okay, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2, so you could start over there. So I want to thank Jerry for allowing me the privilege and opportunity to come up here and teach. For me, it's a dream that all you guys are here from South America.
I'm just fixing you up, please.
It's okay. All right. Thank you. I had the opportunity last summer to go to Ecuador and be a part of the advance they had there with the Venezuelan people and the Ecuadorians. And it was just a dream for me to be able to be there with you guys, and to have all you guys here with us is just really phenomenal. So we're studying a little bit on the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians is a correctional epistle, and it corrects doctrinal error that crept into the church from failure of not adhering to the doctrine in the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians talks about the great mystery. Jerry covered last night Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. So today we're going to get into Colossians chapter 2, verses 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7. And this section here is an exhortation to walk and to be established in the right way of believing, not being deceived by persuasive arguments. We're also going to look at some words and phrases in this section and see a little bit more about how the words fit together in the verse, and the verse a little bit in the context of it. So last night we learned about the great mystery. The great mystery is in the book of Ephesians, and it's also in the book of Colossians, the great mystery. So let's read Colossians chapter 1 or chapter 2 again to start off with. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and in verse 2 it says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches and full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. It's the mystery. This is a great thing. Hearts knit together. That's what this weekend is about. We have people here, different colors, different languages, different countries, different cultures, all together. And some of us who live in the United States, we can speak a little Spanish. And some of you guys coming from South America, I think you speak more English than what sometimes we know. So maybe it'd be really good that we all talk to each other a little more, and that's cool. Speaking another language that you don't really know very well, you have to take a chance. Like, gee, what happens if I say something wrong? Are they going to laugh at me or whatever? One of my most embarrassing moments as a human being was one time somebody asked me to do a wedding. It might have been the Cobo's wedding, and I'm not sure, but I think, or the Piano's wedding. But anyway, I was doing a wedding, and they asked me to do it in Spanish. They were very brave. So I was doing this wedding in Spanish, and in the beginning of the wedding, you'd normally, you know, say hi and then have the people sit down. So in Spanish, I got some words confused, and instead of saying, you may be seated, I said to them in Spanish, you may feel yourselves. People were so blessed by that wedding, I tell you, it was great. I just wanted to walk away, but it was rather difficult since I was performing the ceremony. But you know what? It's cool because when you reach out and you try, it's really good. So those of us who speak a little Spanish, there's a lot of people here we could practice on. And for those of you guys from South America, there's a lot of people like us who you guys can practice on if you want. It's the mystery, and it's really cool to be able to love people. And loving requires a little courage sometimes, right? Getting out of our shell sometimes, out of the little comfort zone that we live in. So we're going to start here in verse Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. The words enticing words are words that sound right, but they're wrong. They're deceiving words. They're, beguiling words. They're words that sound right, but they're wrong. When the adversary spoke to Eve in the garden, his words sounded pretty good there, but they were wrong words. So here it says, after talking about knowing the mystery there and all this assurance and all this, then it kind of changes, and now all of a sudden it's telling us something quite different. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, deceive us with words that sound right, but they're wrong. So beguile means to be deceived. I might have said it backward. Beguile means to deceive. They're, you know, false reasonings. And enticing words are words that sound good, but they're not. It's like enticing words. Now, keep your finger here. We're going to come back, but let's look here at Mark chapter 4. So we're not to be beguiled, tricked off of God's word by words that sound really good. And this is in the context of the mystery, isn't it? Mark chapter 14, Mark 4. Mark 4 and Mark 4 and in verse 15. Let's start at verse 14. It says, and the sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, who comes along? Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their what? So this verse is a very clear verse showing that the adversary, the devil, here he's Satan. He wants to come along and do whatever it takes to take that word of God away from people so they don't understand, so they don't see, so they don't believe, so they don't know, so they don't get delivered. Look at Colossians chapter 2. So that's what's going on, and there is a great conflict in the world between God and the adversary. God gives us his word, and Satan, the devil, tries to take it away. Here we have, in the context of the great revelation of the mystery, and here it says, lest I say, lest any man should beguile you, you know, trick you with enticing words, persuasive words. This is really interesting because Satan comes along too, and he comes and takes the word. The great mystery is it's one body and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? Isn't it interesting that the great mystery, for the most part in today's society, is a mystery? Some of you guys came from the churches. Most of you did not know what the mystery was until you came to fellowship. So isn't this interesting? The great doctrine of the church epistles, the great doctrine of Christianity, is a mystery in this day and time. It was a mystery and it was revealed, but since it has been revealed, it's been buried. So now we have other things that are more important instead of the mystery. Isn't that interesting? And in this context here of the mystery, it talks about people getting talked out of this by persuasive words. And in our society today, hardly anybody knows what the mystery is. Pretty interesting, really, I think. So, it says here, lest I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. One way not to be beguiled is to understand what it is the right way. And if I understand what it is the right way, when something comes along, I'm not going to get conned as easy because I understand what it should be. We had some of the Venezuelan believers come over, and I was all excited because 5 minutes from our house, there's a bagel shop. And in this bagel shop, there's people from Venezuela who work there, and they're supposedly Islamic. So that's quite an odd combination. A bagel shop with Islamic people from Venezuela. Seriously. So I was all excited, and I can't wait. I'm going to have these guys over there and check this out. So as soon as we walk in there, they start talking to this lady who told me she was from Venezuela. And on the way out, Ian turns to me and he goes, "That lady is not from Venezuela." Now me, you know, I'm just a dumb gringo, you know. I mean, I didn't quite catch the accent, but they caught it, boom, like that. Because I did not know exactly what that Venezuelan accent sounded like. They could pick it up right away. They go, "Nope, sorry." But I didn't discern it because I didn't know the right way. One way not to get tricked is to know what it is the right way. We know the word, so when something comes along, nah, not a Venezuelan accent, okay? So, it's interesting. All right, now, verse 5. "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order," see, in order, all things in the church decently in order, same word, and the steadfastness of your believing in Christ. He was blessed. He was happy. He had joy because they were believing the word. When we hear good news from South America or other places or whatever, and we hear people are believing the word in New Jersey or whatever, people get blessed because people are believing the word. And it was a steadfast believing. The Greek word for the word steadfast comes from a Greek word related to our English word stereo. If you have a mono sound, Jim, it's one place, correct? Is that accurate? Okay, thank you. Now, a stereo comes from two places, right? Is that accurate? Said, I know a lot about these things. Now, the word stereo comes from a Greek word meaning solid. It's a solid sound. So here, steadfast, they were solid. They were steadfast. They were stable. Keep your finger here. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. We're going to come back. They were solid. They were steadfast. So instead of being beguiled by persuasive words, these guys were steadfast. Acts chapter 16. We're going to come back over there to Colossians. Acts chapter 16, verse 5. Acts 16, 5. This is a cool verse for the outreach of God's word. It says here, "And so were the churches," church in the home, they had the church in the home, "and so were the churches established." They were stereoed. They were, you know, solid. They were firm. "So were the churches established in the right way of believing." That's what that means. "In the right way of believing and increased in number daily." That's a cool thing, whether in New Jersey, Venezuela, Florida, Ecuador, to establish the church so those churches grow, and they grow, the people get stronger in the word, and with that strength also comes tremendous outreach, more and more fellowships all the time, and here it was on a daily basis. So it's not just numbers, but it's people being established in God's word. Part of what we're doing here this weekend is establishing people in the Word of God by building the Word on a consistent basis. Look back at Colossians. If any of you are tired right now, you can come to the front and I will water baptize you right in front of everybody. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Now, Colossians 2 and in verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your believing in yourselves. In who?
Christ.
In Christ. See, it's not about people. It's not about my emotions. It's not about whatever. It's about steadfastness of our believing in Christ and what he accomplished. So if we're going to believe in Christ and what he accomplished, I got to know, we got to know what he did. And then that's the basis of our walk. If I'm to the place where I go to all these things, events, because it's people, or because my buddy's there, or my girlfriend's there, or I like the food at these camps, I don't quite see it yet. It's got to be because of the Word of God. People are great and all this, but it's steadfast of the believing in Christ. People come and go. People will disappoint you. I'll promise you that. How many of you been disappointed by a person? Raise your hand. Some of you don't have your hands up. I'd like to talk to you in the back of the room after that. People will disappoint. God's word is true. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your believing in Christ. That's what it's about. It's not about Harbor Light Fellowship or whatever. It's about in Christ or his accomplishments. It's not about the accomplishments of people. The Christian church is not based on people. It's based on the Lord Jesus Christ, what God wrought in Christ Jesus. Isn't that interesting? It's right here in this context. Verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, who? As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so do what?
Walk
ye in him. You know what a Lord is? A Lord. A Lord is like a master. If I am Juan Carlos's servant, he's my master. When he tells me to do something, if I want to still have a job, I better what?
Do it.
We confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Here, it's Christ Jesus the Lord. If we confessed him as Lord to get born again, in the walk, when it says Christ Jesus the Lord, it puts emphasis on our obedience, our carrying out what the master says. And that's cool. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, in this next verse, verse 7, there's four phrases in the verse that modify the walk. Verse 7. So, walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, rooted. Clearly, we're rooted when we're born again. We have some unshakable spiritual roots. Now, in the working translation that Reverend Cummins did, he translates this, verse 6, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, as those who have a root and are builded up in him and established in the right way of believing, even as you were taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. An Aramaic translation reads, strengthening your roots. So spiritually, we're rooted in Christ, clearly, but also in the walk, as we walk out and as we put on the word, we're stronger, we strengthen our roots mentally. So it has a mental thing here also, strengthening your roots. So as you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. Where's Donnie Rizzo? Where is he in here? Donnie, could you stand up, please? I'll be nice. I'm not going to do anything bad. Now, Donnie, how do you spell your last name? R-I-Z-Z-O, thank you. The Greek word for rooted in the Bible is R-I-Z-O-O. So your name might have come from this. I'm not sure if it's an Italian name. But the Greek word for being rooted is very much like your last name. R-I-Z-O-O. Look at Matthew chapter 13. So we're to be rooted. We're rooted spiritually, but in our walk, we need to have some roots. We need to have some roots. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 21. This is talking about the Word of God being rooted. Matthew 13, 21. It says, this is the parable of the sower. Yet hath he not root in himself. So this guy without roots, he's around for a while, he dureth for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's what? Offended. People without spiritual roots in their walk, when the pressure gets on, they leave. Now, I have this Easter lily here. Now, I realize this is kind of an ugly Easter lily, I have to tell you. It's basically Easter's past, and it's had its day, I guess. But now, you can see this is a beautiful flower. Now, I have to take this out of its base. But I do not want to spill any dirt on this table and on the tablecloth, lest I never get invited back to an advance. Okay. Now, look at this. Whoa, that's ugly. Now, look at those roots. You see those roots? This is a nice looking plant. But underneath this plant is this root system. This plant wouldn't be as beautiful, this plant wouldn't be as nice, unless it had some wonderful, wonderful roots. If we want to be able to really flower, we want to have a lot of fruit in our life, it's not only just what everybody sees, but it's what we got underneath, how we build the word in our life. Those of you who've worked in a garden, when you try to dig out a bush and it's got some roots in it, it takes a long time, doesn't it? Because it ain't going anywhere. When believers have roots, roots down in the Word, we're not going to go anywhere. If we want to have this beautiful thing on the outside, we need roots in the Word. Roots. Now, another thing. Let's go here to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. It says here, as you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted. We're to be rooted and built up in him. The word built up is the word edify. We're to be rooted and built up, edified in him. There's a lot of things in the Bible that edify people. One is the word. One is love. One is leadership. One is the manifestations. And some of you guys are builders. And you know when we build something, if we cut corners, those buildings aren't as strong, right? I went to Miami after the giant hurricane hit down there. There were whole projects of buildings that were totally wiped out. And then right about a half mile down, there was a whole section that stood with very little damage. The difference was something was built cheaply and something else was built the right way. When we're building something, the Word of God exhorts leaders to build something the right way, not cut corners, because then it's something that lasts. Instead of using pressure or people or all this other kind of stuff, fear, to get people to come, why don't we build it the right way? And it takes a while to build something the right way. But if it's built the right way, people come because they want to. People are happy. The Word of God is there. It takes a while to build something. We're to edify each other. Verse 6, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith. Established. We're not going to go anywhere. It's established. Established, established, established. Established in the right way of believing. Not in some false doctrine, but in the right way of doing it. So it doesn't go. So people are established in the Word of God. So, and it says, as ye have been taught, rooted and built up and established in the right way of believing, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. It's hard to be negative if we're thankful, isn't it? If we're thankful for the things that we have day by day, it's easier not to lose them. When we get complacent and not thankful for the things that we have, we don't take care of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. There's been some studies by psychologists where they interviewed people who were happy in a very census way. And they interviewed happy people and they tried to look for traits that made happy people happy in a sense knowledge way. And two traits that stood out in happy people, one of them was thankfulness and another big trait was forgiveness. If we're thankful people, it's hard to be negative and down if we're thankful. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, and in verse 15, it says, 2 Corinthians 4, 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So here we have God's grace, and because of God's grace, people are thankful, and because people are thankful and doing these things, God gets the glory. What a wonderful thing. We have got so much grace in our life to understand God's word like we have, to know the mystery, which it hardly anybody knows the mystery. To know that mystery, we should be very thankful. And because of that thankfulness, we can be happy and glorify God. Look back at Colossians, almost done here. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. So we understand the mystery. In most places, the mystery is still a mystery. And in this context of knowing the mystery and living the mystery, we have people who are deceived. But it says here, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted, having some roots, built up in him, and established in the right way of believing, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. If God's word is going to move, it doesn't move just by people who are around for a week and then leave. If it's going to move because there are people who are steadfast, who are faithful, who are rooted and grounded. There's a lot of things happening around, a lot of cool things happening. Some of us are getting older. We have gray hair or less hair. We're getting older. Yet the cool thing is, other people are growing up. Other people are deciding they want to stand. There's more little babies around. And who's going to be around to teach the next generation? Are we going to pass this word of God on? How about all the people in New Jersey that need to hear the word of God? There's a bunch of them. But you know what? There's something else happening. Wow. There's people here from other states. There's people here from other countries. How is that word going to go in Ecuador? Is it going to be built the right way? Is it going to just continue to grow and be established? And other people, maybe some of you, decide that, man, I want this word of God and I'm going to be steadfast. And it's going to go. And all of us really got to decide where we're at with all this stuff, because it's the word of God, man. You know, it's not just, you know, fun in the sun, you know, at Huguenot or whatever this place is. So there's a lot of interesting things happen, and God can work in our life if we believe him and we stay faithful. When I first got in God's word a long time ago, I heard the word of God and I decided, man, this is what I want in my life. You know, and I've been able to grow, and God has blessed me so much as he's blessed all of us in the room. So it's really, really a big deal to stay faithful. And all this stuff, and all this is in the context of the mystery. Here, the mystery's being talked about, and then it's talked about people being deceived off with false logic, using tantalizing words. And in our society today, unfortunately, the mystery is a mystery. Yet it was revealed 2,000 years ago. And here we live in the computer age, where communication is so easy, yet the great foundation of the Christian church doctrine, the mystery, is a mystery. What happened? We know the internet, but what happened? So how are we going to improve? We have to be faithful. Look at these words in here: rooted, built up, established, as we've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. These are tremendous, tremendous words. And once again, a sign of immaturity is just, it ain't about people. It's about this. And you know what? I want to be faithful in the right way of believing, separated from all other ways. It's just a wonderful joy that all of us could be here today and to be together and to love each other and grow in the knowledge and application of the Word of God. As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk we in him. 2,000 years ago, God moved in Christ Jesus, and now it's our move. Father, thank you for the privilege I've had to do this, and thank you for the opportunity we have to be together here and to grow in the knowledge of your word. Thanks for a wonderful day and the rest of the advance, and that we can walk in love with our hearts knit together. Truly thankful, Father, for this day and for everybody here, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.